What's going on, everybody? You're listening to a new episode of the Post Game Report podcast. I am your host, JVB. So I've been at this game for a very long time, since 2005. And I want to tell a story about my beginnings and my experience in the gaming industry as an influencer. Now, I wouldn't consider myself an influencer nowadays, especially with what people call an influencer now, you know, in today's times in social media and stuff like that. But back in 2005, I got heavily involved in podcasting and in the video game industry. I started out by writing previews. I was writing previews for a website, a video game website. Scratch that. I was born in 1972. I started playing video games in 1979. My very first video game in the arcades was Asteroids. And then I got hooked to video games. I was always at the arcades, something that was magical, and I truly miss. That arcade experience was an entirely different environment that has never been duplicated or replicated. So I lived in the arcades. As a matter of fact, in the Bronx, where I grew up, bodegas, laundromats, movie theaters, everywhere you went, there was some arcade cabinets, whether it was one or two. Some places, like pizza shops, had four, maybe even five arcade cabinets. And they would have the latest and greatest arcade cabinets. So I grew up in that era of video games, in the beginning. And then I went through the arcade era. Of course, the home console crashed in 1983. There was an oversaturation of video games and an oversaturation of home consoles. Which, once again, the arcades, for those of us who were into video games, that was our escape. So, of course, Nintendo came back with a great console and the Nintendo Entertainment System. And from there, consoles, the home console, was reinvigorated. So I was there for that as well. And now we fast forward to today. What are we missing? Well, from the moment the Nintendo Entertainment System came out to now, we are missing the gaming stores. Well, the retailers. We do have GameStop, but back in the day, we had EB Games, we had Funko Land, then we had the small mom and pop places that sold video games. We had department stores that dedicated. Now we have Walmart, and to a point, Target and Best Buy, they have a very small video game section with an actual playable console. But I remember in the Bronx, Fordham Road, there used to be Alexander's. And Alexander's used to, it was huge, at least for me. I remember it being so freaking enormous. And we used to actually cut school and hang out in Alexander's, but that's for a different story. So, the video game section, the electronics section, it was a big deal. You can go in there and you can be entertained for hours. Then you had the Wiz, which was, I guess you can call it the Best Buy of that era, but much smaller than Best Buy. But the Wiz would sell musical instruments. They would have video games. They would have electronics, TVs, whatever you wanted to buy. So I went through all that, right? The retail stores started disappearing. Toys R Us disappeared. By the way, there's a Toys R Us in 34th Street. Not that big, but the huge, glamorous Toys R Us stores of old have disappeared. You had KB Toys, where I used to buy a lot of my video games because for some odd reason, there used to be KB Toys and another department store that replaced Alexander's in Fordham Road. It was similar to Target, but it was a different name. And for some reason, those two stores would release video games early, like 3 days early. And I found that out. And that's those two stores I frequent all the time. So that is gone. And the community aspect of video games is gone. Meaning, and what I mean by that, you can go to an event such as PAX, which is still around, but it's not the same. E3 to a point, or you can go to some video game preview events. And you can meet people that you met either online or through social feeds. That and developers. And I'm going to get to why I'm bringing that up in a second. And I know I'm jumping a little bit ahead, but let me just say that growing up, playing video games since the 70s until now, I have seen a lot of shit that a lot of people have not seen. Whether it was playing video games, the video game culture, and the video game industry. So, with that being said, when I saw the opportunities that forums were providing to people like myself who loved video games, I saw an opportunity to, number one, meet people who had an interest in video games like myself. From there, you had different websites surfacing that focused on community. And one of those was Gamertag Picks, where, and Gamertag meaning Xbox Live Gamertag, right? It was focused around the Xbox Live ecosystem mainly. And not so much the ecosystem, but the community. So I would put my profile as JVB, and then I would put an actual photo of myself. And people, obviously back then, were very interested in that because we would know each other by, well, quote unquote, know each other by playing online. We would know that, okay, this particular gamer tag, I play Rainbow Six 3 or Halo 2 with them online, and now I could see their face. And then you add them as a friend and blah, blah, blah. It was another way to stay in touch outside of video games. Well, it was a new way for a lot of us. So there were opportunities surfacing, and then came podcasting. And I started to listen to a few podcasts that were focused around video games. And I said to myself, you know what? This reminds me of when I used to hang out in front of my building talking shit about video games. And back then we did. People liked the Sega Genesis. Some people liked the Super Nintendo. Some people preferred the Atari Jaguar. Some people liked Sonic over Mario, Mortal Kombat over Street Fighter, Tecmo Bowl over Madden, and to a point, Joe Montana football back then. As a matter of fact, there were several really awesome football titles. Sony had Game Day. So anyway, I found that there was this thing called podcasting, and then there were video game websites dedicated to the community and to the games. So I wound up, I forgot how the hell it happened. I wound up writing for a website called XboxCircle.com. Self-explanatory, right? So it was all about Xbox. I was writing reviews. I remember I wrote a review. I forgot which game it was. They actually sent me the game. There was nothing quite like that feeling back then, where I was sent a review copy of a game for me to review. I felt like a big fucking deal. And let me remind you that back then, I was like 31 years old or some shit like that. So I'm 51. So I was 32, because it's going to be 20 years next year that I've been podcasting. So this year will make 19 years. So anyway, I felt like a big deal, right? Like it was like, oh my God, this is something that I thought I would never do. I used to read the gaming magazines, the Game Informer, Game Pro. So here I am doing something similar, but for a website. And that particular review had gotten a lot of freaking traffic and comments. So much so that they told me, hey, we have a contest amongst the writers, and whoever generates the most feedback and traffic, they get a game of their choice. Now, what I did, like a sucker, there was some one of the writers, it was their birthday, and we were all wishing them happy birthday through this chat feature. And like a sucker, I said, you know what? Give it to him. It's his birthday, and let him decide what game he wants. I didn't know these fucking people, but I was being a nice guy. So anyway, from there, I was able to podcast. And I started out with Podtacular. It was a podcast about Halo, about the Halo franchise. And Halo 2 had already been released. So because I was heavily into Halo with my friends and I, we were like into the story and everything. So I was listening to another podcast about video games, and they had them on, and I was like, holy shit, a Halo podcast? Let me check these guys out. So I remember leaving a voice message, because you can call this number and leave a voice message. You had a call. I was calling through my landline. I leave a message, and the next episode, they play my voice message, and I'm like, holy shit, my voice message is played. And I felt, once again, this excitement that I didn't feel before because it was brand new. I was like, holy shit. You know, here I am interacting with this community of people, and the people who organized this thing found my voicemail to be worthy enough to play it. So some way, somehow, I wound up, let me rewind a little bit. I wound up joining their website as a forum member, and then I would leave a few more voice messages. And then one day they invited me to the podcast. Of course, I wasn't going to say no. So I remember buying like a $15 headset. It was a microphone. The type of microphone you would see at a call center. It has the one earphone. And then it has the mouthpiece connected to that one earphone. And it was in Radio Shack, which no longer exists, by the way. So I bought that at Radio Shack. I plug it into the computer. And I remember that my Bronx, New York accent was so freaking strong. Because I had never freaking done this before. Admittedly, I when I do podcasts, this voice suddenly pops out. And the way I talk suddenly changes. It's like something that just happens. It's not like I do it purposely. It just fucking happens. But back then, it didn't happen. And that was due to an experience. So I remember listening to the podcast and thinking, holy shit, I sound horrible. I sound like I'm not into this. I sound like an idiot because I'm here talking with this accent. And it wasn't like I was trying to act tough or nothing. It's just, I didn't like the way I sounded. So throughout the years, I worked on that. So from there, maybe about 6 months later, one of the hosts, he was leaving. So the creator of Podtacular, he asked me. As a matter of fact, the forum members recommended that I be the replacement. And I was so surprised at how many, there was a whole thread of who should be the new co-host of Podtacular, and it was unanimous that I replace Spellcheck. And by replace, I mean he left, and then they had to fill that space. So it wasn't like I replaced him because I was better or anything like that. So I did that for a while, and we had an immense community of Halo players. We had so much content, so many voice messages, so many user-submitted, what we call tales. I keep thinking tales from the foxhole. And it would be submit a written description of a multiplayer game, of a match, or call it in, right? If something crazy happened, either write it, submit it through a written, you know, email or a voice message. And we would get so much material that eventually Fumo Jive had to split the show so there would be two shows a week. And then when it came to community involvement, that community was enormous. So much so that we won the first, I think it might have been the second annual video game awards. I think it was from Libsyn. I believe it was from Libsyn. I could be wrong about that, but we did win a video game award for podcasting. And I remember because some of my friends, they were also in the running for this podcast award. And our community, they did what they could to make sure. We just had the numbers. We had the numbers to outvote most communities. And not only that, not only did we have had the numbers. Well, let me scratch that. Not only did we have the numbers, but our community cared enough to go vote. And that was key. So from there, I became somewhat of the spokesperson for Podtacular because Fumo Jive, he was content with doing the podcast and then signing off and doing his continuing with his real life. He wasn't really in it for industry purposes, popularity. He just loved doing the podcast. He loved talking with us. We used to have guests on all the time from the community, even from the industry later on. So I was more into the community building aspect of it, meaning I would jump on other people's podcasts. I would give advice on how to podcast to other community members. I would reach out to developers. And then eventually I started reaching out to Bungie, the creators of Halo 1, 2, 3, and so on. They created the good Halos. Combat Evolved, stuff like, not Combat Evolved, Halo Infinite and ODST. So, that was me. I was more of the, I'm trying to think of the name, but I guess I was the mouthpiece outside of the podcast. So I was invited to a preview event for Crackdown. And before that, I was starting to meet people. I was starting to meet other podcasters, and I was meeting them through forums. We were meeting strictly through forums. We didn't really have any social media. And then we would jump on each other's podcast because there weren't that many at the time. It's not oversaturated like it is now. So it began to grow. The video game portion of podcasting began to grow. And at one point, it was so oversaturated, but the people weeded themselves out because they realized how much work was behind this. So things leveled out again. So one day, a friend of mine, he hits me up. He goes, "Hey, would you like to come to Seattle?" Now, this friend used to be a podcaster that I listened to before I started podcasting. He used to podcast with his brother and some friends. And I used to listen to them every fucking week because they were knowledgeable. They spoke well. It was just an entertaining show. So I used to listen to them every freaking week. I met one of them through the internet. We even played some games together over Xbox Live. And one day, now, let me rewind a little bit because I jumped a little bit too far ahead. I forgot to mention that after Xbox Circle, a friend of mine created a website called C-Tag, and it was kind of a spoof against Gamertag picks. So I was given a column for that website. I even had my own header that my friend, she created, and I would put reviews, previews, I would put episodes of my podcast. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't put Podtacular, but I would create my own audio and just put like a 15-minute segment of something I was talking about. From C-Tag, I worked for this website very briefly, and I'll get to that in a second. It was called 411 Mania. I believe they're still around, but I used to go to that website for the wrestling news. I used to go to 411 Mania for wrestling news. And because I used to go there all the freaking time, I see an advertisement. Not an advertisement, but it was an announcement that they were going to start a video game section. And if we knew anyone, or if there was any of the readers interested, submit an application and they'll contact us and do a proper review or interview. So I did that. I showed them Xbox Circle. I showed them C-Tag. I showed them that I was a host on Podtacular. So immediately they were like, "Welcome aboard." And I remember we got some press release for some video games. We got assets sent to us for a preview. And I was like, holy shit, I'm going to get paid for this shit. But not too long after that, and I'm talking about weeks, my grandmother passed away. Now, for those that don't know, my grandmother raised me and my brother. So this hit hard, extremely fucking hard. And I remember I was trying to finish a preview like a week after she passed, and I just couldn't do it. But I was like, listen, I got a commitment. I got to finish it. And so I started taking some of the press release and using it in my preview. So the editor-in-chief one day calls me up And he's like, dude, I noticed that there was some shit written from used from the press release. What's going on? And I told him, I said, dude, my grandmother passed. I didn't have it in me to finish, but we had a deadline. I had to do something. He was like, dude, why didn't you say something? Take the time you need. You know, take whatever time you need. Your position is here. And in that particular moment, I knew that my enthusiasm for the industry, for writing and stuff like that, it wasn't there. So I told him on the spot, I said, look, man, I appreciate it. Thank you for bringing me aboard, but I'm going to have to resign. I just don't have the heart for this, and I don't want to have you guys waiting around for me. So I stepped away from that. I wound up moving to Florida not too long ago. I mean, long after that. But I was still co-host of Podtacular. So I finally returned to Podtacular, finally returned to podcasting. And then that's when I moved to Florida, that's when shit really picked up. So through there, the friend that I used to listen to, with, you know, that I was telling you, him and his brother and his friends, he gets a job with Microsoft to join the Xbox community team. They were building this community team. So all of us who were podcasting and we knew this guy, we were like, holy shit, you know, this guy, I don't want to name names, but we were like, holy shit, this guy got the freaking job of a lifetime. We're all of a sudden we're thinking, yo, we can actually do something with this shit. And there's an opportunity where one day we might get the call that this guy got, and we can make this a freaking living. So I get a phone call from my friend who works for Xbox. And he's like, dude, we're doing a preview event. I can't tell you the game right now because I need you to tell me yes first. He goes, you'll be flown to Seattle. You'll be in the Microsoft campus, and you're going to preview this game, and everything is fully paid for. I told him I need to know the dates. I got back to him. I said, yes, I got approved for those days off. And that was my first event, my first industry event, where I was able to meet community members in person. Some of them I'm still friends with. And this was 2007 or some shit like that. So the game that I was previewing was called Crackdown. Some of you guys might know it. And Crackdown was this big sandlot game. And we had to preview it, give our feedback, all that stuff. And then we were given a review copy. Right there. As soon as we were done, they said, here you go. Here's a copy. It's for you. Do what you want. You can write a review or you could just keep it and play. So all of us were like, no, we're going to do a review. Let's do a review of this game. So I was able to meet developers. I was able to meet, at the time, the person responsible for Xbox Live, the services. I met Major Nelson. I met Trixie. You guys don't know who she is, so I could say her name. I met quite a few industry folks and developers. Well, industry folks, I throw them all in there. And then community members, most importantly. And I remember I've always been this way. I remember grabbing a pen and a paper, and I said, everybody who's here, write your name and number, and we'll all freaking make a copy of this. So this way, we continue this relationship that we've gotten an opportunity to know each other in person. Let's keep this thing going, and let's help build this freaking podcast community into something legitimate so that more people can come down to these types of gaming events, these type of previews. Let's show them. Let's show all of these developers that we're serious. We could be taken serious. We're going to come in here. We're going to be professional. We're going to freaking be respectful. And that's what we did. We held each other accountable. And if you said some bullshit, like for example, you see some of these prominent Xbox guys, they'll make up some shit like Cold Eastwood or freaking Crap Gamer. You might not even know who the hell they are, and that's a good thing. We wouldn't have accepted that. We would have heard these people talking on their shows because we used to listen to each other's shows. We used to support each other. And if we heard some bullshit, we will call you out. So, after that event, I do my review. I reviewed it for Podtacular. And I give it a 7 out of 10. Now, this was my first experience with what I call the ass-kissing portion of the gaming community, the gaming industry, because there's a lot of it. You see it on social feeds, on YouTube. So I give Crackdown a 7 out of 10, which is a good fucking score. And I get messages and phone calls from some of the people that I was at this preview event with, and they're like, yo, I can't believe you gave it a 7 out of 10. And I was like, what's wrong with that? And they're like, yo, you're not going to piss off these developers and Xbox? I was like, man, if they get pissed off over a 7, then I don't want to do this anymore. So lo and behold, none of the developers contacted me. Nobody at Xbox contacted me. People read my review, and most importantly, a demo for Halo 3 was attached to Crackdown. So it was really appealing to the Halo community. So they were more interested in that Halo 3 demo. But from there, I became what is now known as an influencer. All of us who were there previewing Crackdown, we were now very influential within the gaming community and the industry because we were amongst the first to do such a thing. There were others doing it, let me try to find the right word, right? You had mostly IGN. IGN was still around back then, 1UP, GamePro, Game Informer. They would go to these previews. Not the average Joe writing for an independent website or doing this thing called podcasting that a lot of people weren't familiar with. That was unique. So we became the type of individual that you would consider an influencer because we were getting access to shit that other people didn't. They didn't have it. And these people were writing for independent websites, for small websites. They were trying to get into podcasting, or they were just forum members that would write their own reviews. Because back then, forum members, you had Rockstar forum members. You would have forum members who had some kind of clout that they can fucking boot you out of a forum if they felt that you were annoying. And they were just members. They were like an elite member. They weren't administrators. They didn't own the website, even though they acted like they did. And you would see them in other forums and people knew who the fuck they were. That's how you got popular. So we had the access that these people didn't have. and we became influencers. We didn't call ourselves influencers, but that's what you would consider an influence in video games. And from there, my journey into the industry began. After that Crackdown event, I became friends with Bungie. I became friends with people in Xbox. I was flown to Xbox several times. I was flown to events by EA. I had job interviews with different publishers in New York. Even when I moved back to New York, I was being invited by publishers to preview games, game test games. I worked with EA on several games, game testing them. So every time I went to these events, it was, for me, a way to interact with the people I already knew and with newer people that were just coming in, either as a writer or a podcaster. And I would welcome them, I would give advice, and not to toot my own horn, but these people would know who the fuck I was. They would know who my friends were. They would know us. And sometimes they would know us by our voice. They would recognize our voice. And they'd be like, yo, are you JVP, by the way, from Podacular? And I'm like, who put you up to this? And they're like, holy shit, it is you. One time I laughed and somebody fucking turned around, looked at me and said, holy shit, you're JVP. I kid you not. It was at a freaking E tournament in Florida. And it was a lot of Halo players, so that's why. Like, within the Halo community and the industry, you know, with Bungie, I was pretty well fucking known. I was very involved with the Halo community. I met so many great people who had communities of their own, and they were freaking growing just as big as Podtacular. You had people who had communities centered around cosplaying as Spartans or Marines. You had people who would just make cartoons out of Halo. I mean, there was so much within the Halo community. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. And back then, you didn't have this weird infatuation that you see now with these Xbox people. And I don't call them podcasters. I don't call them content creators because they fucking suck. They suck. They lie to their audience. They all have super chats. They all have Patreon. They freaking make up this weird ass narrative. And they do it because they know they are manipulating a group of people that are going to pay them money to fucking hear a bunch of lies. And you can't fault them because you have the enablers giving them the money. And some people, they're just hustlers. And video games is no different. They're going to hustle you out of your money. Swindle you. So we have a bunch of swindlers posing as content creators and video game enthusiasts. Back in the day, we had people who preferred Xbox. I was an Xbox fanboy. My dream was to work for Xbox. It nearly happened. I had that phone call. I had that phone call where they said, listen, you are one of the candidates to get this job. And then my friend who worked for Xbox, he calls me up. He's like, dude, if you need help finding an apartment in Seattle, I'll fucking help you. And I remember telling him, dude, I'm not jumping the gun. He goes, you got this job, dude. Now, it didn't work out because the person I was going to replace, she decided to stay. And it was heartbreaking because I was so fucking close But imagine I had the insight at the time to get information about Xbox and its games. I never used it. I never said I have a source who's telling me this. I never fucking used it. I was a pubic hair away from getting a job with the Xbox community team. And with that being said, I was even called a pioneer from one of the Xbox executives who said, "You helped build this community." And I remember laughing. He goes, "No, I'm serious. You're a pioneer. You're one of the pioneers in this whole thing, this community." And that was like, holy shit, man. I felt proud. I felt that feeling when I got my first freaking review copy of a video game. I was like, holy shit. I thought I'd never be here. So being that I was so involved with Xbox, let alone the community, the industry, because I had other friends who worked at publishers, I had developers who were, I had friends who were developers who were fucking creating games. I never used any of their information. With all that said, I never stooped down to the level that you see now with some of these quote unquote Xbox fans. And there's a difference. I have a coworker. Well, he's a friend of mine now. But we used to work in elevators together. He was a real Xbox fan. He didn't want to buy a PlayStation for no particular reason. He just said, "No, I like Xbox." That's a fucking Xbox fan. The pieces of shit you see on social media, on YouTube, on Twitch, on Twitter, the dipshits you see there, they're not real fucking Xbox fans. They spend more time on social feeds and on YouTube than they do playing any fucking game. And then you see them playing PlayStation 5 games and talking about them. Talking about them so that they can criticize the PlayStation 5 games and try to hype up those Xbox enthusiasts that watch them. And I'm like, how can you be a true fan of video games and then encourage a user base that is watching you, that is paying you through fucking Super Chats and Patreon? You are lying to them. You are telling them, pick one side and one side only. But I get to play a multitude of different consoles just because. That doesn't make fucking sense. And we would have never done that back in the day. We took the community very serious. And once again, we did, because there was an opportunity for the small website to be invited to preview games by EA, by Activision, by Sega. There were so many fucking opportunities, and people were getting them. I had so many friends who would get invited to these places, and they would thank me. They would be like, "Yo, dude, thank you. You put me on your podcast. You helped me get over the fear of hearing my voice. I started my own shit, and now I got industry contacts, I get reviews," and I'm like, yo, that's what it's all about. A community grows stronger when everybody shares the knowledge that helps them grow, that helps them get better. And now we got this community of fucking garbage. And the people that truly love video games, that try to create content on YouTube, showing gameplay, talking about the games they just finished, whether they got all the achievements or all the trophies. People try to create those. There's a bunch of videos like that. Nobody fucking watches them. But as soon as that same person decides, hey, I'm going to trash this console, this other console, or I'm going to trash this content creator or this developer, and suddenly they're getting views. And people fall into that trap, unfortunately. We never were like that. We were like, listen, we love the gaming industry. We love video games. We're going to talk about that shit. Whether it's on Xbox, whether it's on PlayStation. As a matter of fact, I used to talk mostly about Xbox. And then one day I decided to buy a PlayStation 3. And I remember I talked about that on my show, the Post Game Report. Well, the one you're listening to now. And I talked about how weird the menu system was. How I had to get used to that menu system. And the things that were missing that I took for granted on Xbox. I remember trying to figure out where the fuck is party chat. And I was like, oh shit, they don't have that. But the games were different. I already had a Wii. A Wii. I had a Wii. So it was only right that I eventually get a PlayStation 3, but it wasn't like I had to buy it when it launched. It was too fucking expensive. And Xbox was providing me the games that I was into. But as the PlayStation 3 got cheaper and their library began to expand, I was like, the first game that really sold me on the PlayStation 3 was Metal Gear Solid 4. And then Killzone 2. And that's when I was like, all right, now I'm going to buy me a PlayStation 3. And even though I had a PlayStation 3, I was still playing on Xbox Live. I was still talking about Xbox games. There was no fucking motivation for me to say, you know what? Fuck Xbox. I'm PlayStation now. And there weren't that many PlayStation-centric podcasts. So I could have easily jumped over and tried to gain some type of popularity with the PlayStation side of the community. But I didn't. There was no need for me to do that. I remember, and I've told this story several times. I remember one day my friend was coming down from Florida. And he goes, I'm going to preview a WWE game in Manhattan. Did you get an invitation for that? I told him, no, this is the first I'm hearing about it. And by then, I was pretty much done with the media side of the industry. Because I was a community manager for 3 years with the ECA. So he hits me up and he's like, yeah, I got an invite and blah, blah. And me and him are still friends, by the way. So I'm not trash talking my friend, but the tone that he had ignited the competitive juices in me. And I'm very competitive. And that's why I guess I still do podcasts. That's why I still, you know, I do photography. I see other photos. And I'm like, I'm going to do better than that person, right? So in my head, I was like, yo, is my boy trying to like one up me here? Like, his tone of voice is kind of cocky. And I got this dude. He's one of my, well, he was, he's no longer doing this stuff, but I got him crazy contacts. So I was like, all right, time to show my boy a lesson. So the next day I contact somebody in the industry. And they're like, all right, let me get you the information to the person who is running that event. I get the information. I contact the person. They say, all right, be there tomorrow at 10 a.m., whatever. I show up. My friend looks at me. He's like, what the fuck? I thought you weren't invited. I said, I wasn't. But I got my way into it. You know, I got my way here thanks to you. You freaking... You sounded too damn cocky. And so, that, you know, we had a good laugh. And from there, that particular day, I met wrestlers. I bumped into my friends who I've known already that work in the gaming industry now. I met new people who were just starting to do their own thing as media, doing videos. They weren't particularly podcasters, but they were going to events and mainly doing media. And now they, you know, some of them sold their websites. I'm not going to say the name of the website. Some of them actually do freaking movies that have been on Netflix. So I've met so many people who were seeing what we were doing as community members and decided, I'm going to go to college for this. I'm going to be a freaking community manager, or I'm going to learn how to be a production manager or producer, or freaking learn coding so I can create 3D environments. People used to tell me this shit all the time. People were going to school for public relations and they were getting jobs with these freaking publishers. Nowadays, all you see is a bunch of people who see that they can get a little bit of popularity on the internet. They could get a little bit of money through Super Chats and Patreon. And they swear that they're the biggest shit since sliced bread. They swear that the industry is going to take them serious. And they do nothing for the people that they call their friends. They do absolutely nothing for them. They will stab you in the fucking back if they see they can take an idea that you give them and they'll use it as their own and try to make whatever little chump change, they'll try to make as much as possible based on the things you told them. Then they'll turn around and just start talking about your ass. It didn't happen to me, and I'm not trying to call anybody out. It didn't happen to me, but I see it all the time with today's content creator. It's a fucking joke. And now, and this leads up to the final segment, now you see all of these people who have been cheerleaders for Xbox and cheerleaders in a way that they would purposely manipulate the people that follow them, that believe them. They would lie about the opposition. They would make up these scenarios or I can't even think of the word right now because I've been podcasting too long and my brain's starting to shut down. But they will make up these lies. For example, one asshole said that the Xbox Series X was going to have a 30 to 40 frames per second advantage over the upcoming PlayStation 5. He gave no solid information. Like, there was no solid proof of what this guy was saying. But meanwhile, you had these legitimate websites saying exactly what this guy just said. Then you have the people that listen to them, that watch them, saying this shit all over my social feeds. And all of a sudden, games like Resident Evil can't run on the PlayStation 5. Like, that one was freaking crazy. And people believed this shit. No one would call them out. None of their peers would call them out and say, yo, what are you doing? We look like assholes. And then some of them got chummy-chummy with Phil Spencer and Aaron Greenberg, and all of a sudden, their fucking heads were enormous. You couldn't tell them shit, because they knew Phil Spencer and Aaron Greenberg and Major Nelson. Whoopity-fucking-do. you were just being used as a pawn because you had a little audience. You were influential within your audience or with your audience. And in your little community of fucking psychos, you were one of the bigger mouthpieces. You were the one of the more recognizable. And once again, I'm talking about a few people. A bunch of people, as a matter of fact. Not one individual. So I'm not calling anybody out. I'm not trying to insinuate people that I know. I'm not doing that. Because for what it's worth, those people don't do that. I'm talking about these new jacks that all of a sudden in the last 5 years appeared and they found that something works. And they found this cult-like community of people that will hang on every positive word about Xbox, and they've taken advantage of them. And now they're wondering why there's this rumor that Xbox could possibly go multi-plat. And the latest rumor is that the Xbox name might no longer exist. It might just be Microsoft Gaming. I want to see an official statement before I say all of that. You know, I talk about any of that. But the thing is, you're seeing all of these people, grown-ass men who are older than me, I'm 51, saying they couldn't sleep because they kept thinking about this news. And I was like, are you fucking serious? Like, if you were in front of me and you told me that, I would fucking pinch your nose and kick you in the ass and tell you to get the fuck out of my face. Because that's fucking ridiculous. There's more in life than for your ass to be stressed about than fucking consoles that you helped destroy. You didn't hold the brand accountable at all. You didn't hold the other liars accountable. You didn't question the executives when they said certain things, like Phil Spencer saying exclusives aren't good for the industry. Since fucking when? And I am probably the first person who said that Xbox, under the regime that is currently there with Phil Spencer, will not do well. It is going to suffer. Why? Because I did my research on Phil Spencer. The man had no fucking experience doing what he's doing now. And I'll give it to him. He's made a lot of fucking money doing absolutely nothing. And he made a bunch of fucking grown men worship his ass and defend him at any given opportunity. So the man is talented at doing that, at manipulating people. But when it comes to doing his job properly, he fucking sucks. But kudos. The man made millions of dollars. You could be a nice fucking guy, but that doesn't mean you're the right person for the job. And now we see that there's this rumor that there's going to be a major change with the Xbox brand. And I've talked about Xbox going third party. I will say it again. If it does happen, they will dominate as a third-party publisher, and that's only going to benefit Xbox and Microsoft. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. It's going to be beneficial financially. But yeah, this community, when compared to the community I came from and I helped to build, this community is fucking, let me stop cursing. I was going to say something real fucked up, but let me stop cursing. The community, because there are some really good people that genuinely love playing video games, and they'll talk about it on their podcasts, on their YouTube channels, and on their social feeds. Those are the people I follow. Those are the people that I take the time to watch their stuff or listen to their stuff. But the majority, the loudest ones that call themselves real Xbox fans, they're nothing but frauds. They are hustlers. that have swindled hundreds of thousands of people out of finances, out of their money. And once again, I guess kudos to them too. They have something in common with Phil Spencer. They got the gift of gab, and people believed their asses and gave them their money. And this is what we get. The possibility that there's a major change with the Xbox brand, and maybe Xbox games are going to go multi-plat, and maybe the Xbox brand may not be no more. It may change to Microsoft games. We'll see. We'll see, I believe, next week when Phil Spencer makes an official announcement. But anyway, I'm going to wrap it up. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I'm JVB. You guys take care. Talk to you later.